Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning into Abounding Grace. If you've been with us, we've been in this exciting study of Romans chapter 15 this week, where the Apostle Paul outlines what I believe is a burden of his heart as a pastor, and one of the things he struggles with on the inside, writing to the Romans some things that are more boldly given. On some points, of course, we looked at that this past week. There's this inward struggle as you have to give the very difficult things, the hard things, and confront sinners' messy lives, but then to turn them to the gospel, to Christ. And that's what we're looking at. Paul's saying that even though I've been hard-hitting to you, even though I've been challenging you, even though that there are things difficult to hear, don't lose heart. That's every minister's cry, that even though he has to preach things that are hard, even though it comes with an authoritative tone, he is sent by God, he's the postman, he's the mouthpiece with somebody else's method and message. So don't lose sight of what the Spirit is doing and working in you through this message, that he is changing you and that he is committed to you. So there's that balance we looked at yesterday of crushing law and wooing, comforting gospel that the minister has to preach. Now, after writing this encouragement, Paul says, I know I've written boldly to you on some points, reminding you, God is my witness that I pray for you. But you have to understand, God gave me grace, he says, for this end. And here's where Paul explains what his purpose is as a pastor. He's explaining to us what is the nature of pastoral ministry. Here's where he opens up and says, you have to understand what is the character and what is the mandate and what is the goal of ministry. Then you can understand the nature of the offense of the message, because that's all been lost today. I've written more boldly to you, because of this grace given to me, verse 16, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So what's he saying? Notice the language. I'm a minister ministering the gospel of God. Paul views the whole Christian ministry as a sort of priesthood, with the goal that those who hear, the Gentiles, would be brought as a sacrificial thank offering to God. Now, how does that happen? Well, this priesthood is not through making atonement for sin, or like the Old Testament offering propitiatory sacrifices. But now it's reconciling sinners to God. How so? How does God reconcile sinners to himself? Well, Paul explains that in verses 17 through 21 of Romans 15. This is what we read. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I've made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. Do you hear it? I will not speak of anything that Christ has not done in me. So in other words, this is not about the pastor's personal stories. This is not about his personal conjectures, his ideas. This is about what Jesus Christ has done, for the goal that others would be reconciled to him. How so? Well, notice what he says. Everywhere I have gone, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That's my whole aim, to announce Him and preach so as to reconcile sinners to God. All these verses are telling us is that the whole nature and design of what we're doing in the church is to preach the cross. Remember Paul said, "Woe is me if I do not preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why is he saying this? Don't they know this? Don't the church people know this? Doesn't the world, shouldn't they know this? He's saying this because, my friends, the whole message is an offense to sinners. What the pastor is called to do with boldness is great foolishness and crushing to the sinner, as he must lose himself and be totally cast upon the mercies of Jesus Christ for life. You know, Corinth struggled with this, the church in Corinth. They struggled with how they would be relevant and high-tech, and in this high-tech culture, how they would have any sort of progress and ground to make the gospel relevant. You know, we always hear that word relevance today in this culture. And this is what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." You already just said they had great orators of the day. Cicero and all these people learned how to be good orators. And Paul was saying, "I didn't use all that stuff. I didn't need the world's wisdom. I didn't need all the excellence of speech of the world and wisdom declaring to you God's testimony." Here's what he says. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith," now listen to this, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So he's saying, your belief, I don't want it. I don't want to do anything that is the wisdom of men, you see, so that your faith should not be anything that man does, but only in the power of God. And what is the power of God? It's in the foolishness of this message preached, he says. This is given to us that we never lose sight of what ministry should be. Paul's explaining his boldness because the message is offensive. Jesus, we said this week, shrunk his congregation from 5,000 to 12 because his preaching was hard, dogmatic, and offensive. This is the great tragedy today. Here's the reason. The things I've outlined aren't so. If the things that I've outlined aren't so, nothing really drives us to the foot of the cross. Nothing we're really hearing casts us upon the mercies of Christ. Nothing really crushes us so as to bring an end to us. Then something's wrong. You see, a congregation has not become what it should be. Look, knowing the trajectory of rejection in the life of the church throughout this present age, there is the very real problem that what? Some in any given church body have erred and are rejecting what is being preached. They're heading for fire. You ever thought there's no church in the New Testament where this opposition did not come? Isn't that something? What do you think? Here's what I want to ask you. What do you think will break a hard heart that's in rebellion to the Lord? Let's say you have a son or a daughter that's rejected the Lord and living in some bad relationship or living a life of unbelief. What do you think is going to break that heart? It's going to be convicting preaching. It's because the heart is hardened, it's prideful, and it has to come down, you see. And then you have to lift them up with the love of Christ, the grace of Christ, the cross of Christ. But they first have to be brought low. The sad thing today is that when we think we're beyond all this, that Jesus Christ, as Michael Horton said, is just a coach with a good game plan for our own personal victory, rather than a Savior who's already achieved it for us, that salvation is more about having our best life now than being saved from God's judgment by God Himself, and the Holy Spirit is an electrical outlet which we can plug in for the power we need to be all that we can be. You see, when all that has happened, we've lost the real life-changing message and power that is able to save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We're so obsessed today with being relevant and practical, we're not saying anything different than Dr. Laura or Oprah. But I want to say this, and this is what Paul is saying to us here in Romans 15. There is nothing more relevant for your life. Hear this, radio listener, and think about this carefully. There's nothing more relevant for your life than that God would assume our nature, become one of us, take to himself our flesh, come and live here for us, die for us, bring an end to us and raise us anew with him, that he alone might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That is exciting. That's exciting doctrine. And there's nothing more relevant for your life than that. Paul is saying that's ministry, to announce him. And to get to him, the sinner must be emptied of himself. Yeah, it's painful. But the preacher has to be bold in doing this. He often has to crush. It's the design and nature of ministry. But the goal at the end is that through Jesus preached, all those who hear and cling to him would be saved. Boy, that's a wonderful goal. 1 Corinthians 2 says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." You hear what he said? Yeah, it's hard. To some, we're the aroma of death leading to death. The message will produce that, and of others, of life leading to life. But we're not going to peddle the word of God. We're going to be sincere in preaching it, because the end is that all would be saved. Paul has explained how all the doctrine that we've embraced in love plays out practically in the life of the church and the objectives of gospel ministry. We've been encouraged today to not lose heart in what we're doing, to find a church that is doing this faithfully, because it is through this gospel of God that the fruits of you are being filled with goodness, knowledge, and able to admonish as Christ is magnified in our beings, whether by life or by death.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.